This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely wonderful Amanda Flanders.
Hello.
Hello. With a gob full of...
custard cream.
Custard cream.
Still eating my custard
cream. The last custard cream. Simon gave her his last custard cream. How nice is that?
I'm a very nice chap.
Yeah, you are, Simon. You are. Yeah. Mind you, you'd eaten the rest of the packet.
No, I hadn't. There were only three left.
I think it was Jules that ate the rest of it.
Probably, yeah. Whilst moaning about her gluten intolerance. but she can't resist the custard cream. Are you all right?
No, I'm sorting out my chair now. I'm just not comfortable today.
Obviously. We've got a packed lineup of guests today. We've got Caroline with us and we've got Simon, and we'll introduce them both later on in the show. My co-host this week, as I said, is the lovely Amanda Flanders. Jules is off getting her vax symptoms sorted out again.
Oh,
8 months now.
So have you dedicated the whole show next week, or at least the first hour to Jules?
Oh, I'm dreading it. I'm dreading it next week. I'm dreading it when she comes back and goes, oh, I'm going to fill you in on all the things that happened with my vax. For those that don't know, and there's no one in the world that doesn't know, she's even famous in France.
Really?
Seriously, Simon. My oldest son lives in France. He lives in the middle of nowhere in Aquitaine. Yeah, and the local mayor called a little meeting because there's a very big anti-vax passport thing going on in France. And the local mayor is a protagonist in this. And he called a meeting of all the local people. And at the presentation, he gave mention to a lady in England called Jill Serkin that had suffered badly at the hands of the vax. And Jamie went, she works with my dad.
Small world.
It's a small world, yeah. Anyway, Amanda's quite right. We're going to get it both barrels. And it's worse than that because she's got Billy back as well.
Billy back?
Yeah, Billy. Billy from SOS Technology.
Oh, okay.
Billy Dean.
Oh, okay.
The one she locks in the wardrobe every time he comes to fix her Wi-Fi so he can't get away. She fancies him.
Oh, right. Okay.
I don't know. What are you going about then?
Anyway, enough of her. We'll deal with her next week.
Yeah, good luck with that one.
Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. We'd love to hear from you, all the lovely people out there in the southeast of England. You can get in touch with us in all the usual ways, but the best way to do it is to tweet me or Amanda. That's Vanilla Webb is me, and Amanda J. Flanders is her. Have you logged on yet?
Yeah, I managed to get in. Woohoo!
Well done.
Oh, well done.
I know, I did it. I had to reset
the
password.
You had to reset your password? Yeah. Oh, that's a joy.
God knows what's going on with that. But yeah, I want all those gifts today, please. Come on, we know where we
are. You did start off by asking for gifts.
No, I didn't.
You did.
I didn't. I reread it.
Read your tweet.
I did.
You did ask for gifts.
No, I didn't. I asked for gifts. Chips and Dinks said gifts.
You read your tweet.
I did. I reread it when they said about gifts. Anyway, I want gifts and gifts. I'll have everything, please.
Have you made your Christmas list yet, Amanda?
My Christmas list?
Yeah, Christmas list.
Yeah, I don't have a Christmas list.
Oh, well, how does Santa know what to get you? You haven't written a list.
I'm just always very lucky.
Oh, all right, okay.
Chips and Dinks have tweeted. Where's it gone? I've just lost it again. Feel the silence. I've lost it. Oh, here it is.
Well, I want to know what's on your Christmas list. I think that would be interesting. I think the listeners would be fascinated to know what Amanda Flanders puts on her Christmas
list. Well, hold on. She's working through her pre-Christmas list at the moment.
All right, okay. Yeah. What's on that?
Well, the stuff she's had already.
All right.
Custard creams.
Custard creams.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
definitely
it.
Custard creams. Now, here we are. It's from Chips and Dinks. It's Business Bunk on air today with Amanda J. Flanders stepping in to co-host, bringing news and a bit of cheesy music thrown in. What will be the choice today? Something seasonal. Of course, it's Halloween coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done a fantastic gift of an old person, granny, something with a DJ thing. So thank you, Chips and Dinks. And I'm going to find this other one to prove it says gifts, not gifts. But have you got any more over there while I'm looking through? Prove I'm right and you're wrong.
Well, I'm going to tell you who this week's show sponsor is for a start.
Go with that.
It's the lovely folks at Christmas in Tenterton, and they are promoting the Tenterton Light Trail, which is a fundraiser. They're planning a new 4-day light installation trail designed to offer local community and visitors a safe interactive experience to come together at events. This is for Christmas 2022, by the way, this fundraiser.
That's a little early.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, the problem is they've got to raise the money and then do it.
All right, okay.
Yeah. And it's a project that involves all the local schools, local retail businesses, local community, and visitor organisations. And each one of them will have their own light installation, which together will light up the whole town, and there'll be a trail that you can go around and visit each of the light installations. Okay.
That's a good way of doing it, really, because it's hellishly expensive to do. The Tenterden High Street is very long.
Yeah, absolutely.
So doing all of that, if they were trying to get that out of the local Chamber of Commerce or something, it would probably bust their budget.
Well, Tenterden's always had what they called late-night shopping, which is when they turned all the lights on down the high street and they had stuff outside. The problem with that is that it was always very well attended, but it didn't really help the local retailers very much.
Whereas, they were always closed when people came in the evening.
Well, not only that, the ones that were open didn't sell anything because everybody came in for the free mulled wine and mince pies, and that was it. So this light installation will be an ongoing thing for a long time. The last one they did, they got 16,000 visitors.
Well, that's good.
To the high street. So, you know, they're looking to improve on that as well, which will help local business and local organisations.
I used to live in Wye, and they did a very similar thing there over a number of years, and they ended up making quite a big thing of it. And they got loads of people to come. Probably nothing like 16,000, but Wye's a much smaller village.
Mm.
And they certainly get 1,000 or 2,000 people to show up for various things. And it's just a great way of putting heart back in the community.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Wye at the moment.
Why?
All three of them at once. All three of them at once. That's how good they were.
Primed.
Because I went there this morning and it was a blooming nightmare. Both roads both roads are closed into the village anyway roadworks. And by the time I got there, I got to the level crossing and I sat at the level crossing for 12 and a half minutes before it opened.
That's relatively modest for why. It's a nightmare. It's one of the reasons I no longer live there.
Yeah. Anyway, I then go around the one-way system. I was dropping off PCR tests.
All right.
I go out, I drop off two PCR tests. I come back down the high street and the level crossing shut again.
Another 12 and a half minutes.
And another 12 and a half minutes. So I went for another train to crawl through. Yeah, so I wasn't that chuffed with them today.
So we won't be going to Wye again.
Well, that's two trips I've made to Wye because I had exactly the same on Saturday or whenever it was I went.
They are talking about automating the level crossing at Wye again. It was on the agenda a long time ago, then disappeared. But I heard recently that they're talking about automating that barrier, which will cut wait time significantly.
Yeah. Well,
that's
funny.
We just won't go to Wye.
The funny thing is, right next to the barrier were seven blokes with Network Rail high vis jackets on, all stood there. And the train went through, and because the gates are manual, and nobody's doing anything. I wind my window down. I go, any chance of opening these gates? And they went, oh, we're waiting for the gatekeeper, who comes out of a little tower, down a flight of steps, walks across the track, throws a lever, walks open, opens one of the gates. And all these seven blokes are just stood there watching him. I go, couldn't any one of you have done that? No, he's the crossing keeper.
More than my life's worth.
Yeah, exactly. Job's worth. Anyway, listen, big thank you to the folks at Christmas in Tenterden. You can find them on Facebook at that address, Christmas in Tenterden. Twitter is Xmas in Tenterden. And if you'd like to contribute funds, which you would, because that's what this is all about, to the Tenterden Light Trail, if you go to www.spacehive.com/Tenterden Light Trail, that's spacehive.com/Tenterden Light Trail. What you got, man?
Did you know a series of developments are being constructed across Canterbury?
No.
I did.
There you go.
They're taking their time about it, no?
The biggest and most anticipated development, the £115 million Riverside project at Kingsmead, was due to be finished this autumn. But the completion date has been pushed back due to delays brought on by the P word. The development, which includes a Curzon cinema, bars, restaurants, shops and Canoe pontoon,
yeah.
Of course. Will instead be launching next summer. 12 commercial tenants will operate from the complex, which the council hopes to rejuvenate that area of the city next to Sainsbury's. Student accommodation comprising of 493 beds is also being built.
Sorry, I'm laughing. I know what the end of that email says.
Along with 189 homes and a 200 space Undercroft car park. The student accommodation block facing onto Sturry Road has been described by critics as the ugliest building in the city. Yet the council previously defended its design, saying beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Okay, then.
Yeah. They're also building 750 houses on Saxon Field. And they've been building those for about 2 years now, and they've only got about 10 built.
Well, there's that big problem with the microbes that they found in, I can't remember the name of the place, it's the other side of Canterbury, and they found effectively things are coming from human waste in reed beds. And almost all planning and all development in Kent, as far as Ashford, has been stopped while they sort this out. And they're insisting now that they do waste processing plants locally as part of the developments, and it's putting huge costs onto planning. So there's a massive planning blight, and it's just a nightmare at the moment, apparently.
Absolutely. I'm not even going to tell you about our house.
No, let's not. Moving on. I've got a tweet from FSB Insurance Service. We'd love a shout out about our fundraising activities for our chosen charity, At Heart and Soul Art. Our MD, David Perry, and his team are embarking on a 40-kilometre walk this Halloween. You can find our Just Giving page at justgiving.com/fsb-insurance-services-limited. But that's cool. So go and check that out and help them with their fundraising. 40 kilometres, that's quite a walk. 40 kilometres at Halloween. Do you reckon they're doing trick-or-treating along the way?
Could well be.
Get their energy up.
Yeah. Our old friends at JR Car Parts have been on as well. JR Car Parts. Haven't spoken to them for ages and ages and ages, and they tweeted me last night and then tweeted me again today. So do give them a follow on the Twitter. A big shout out to them. They've got lots of Halloween special offers at JR Car Parts. That's JAYAR Car Parts.
We do like a bit of Halloween.
Hmm.
That's what you should. Right, Halloween gifts. Come on. That's what we need, the theme. We need Halloween to give people inspiration with their gifts.
Yeah.
I want Halloween gifts and gifts.
Yeah. We're thrilled that our director, Siobhan Sterling, won the PR and marketing category at the gala final of the National Best Business Women Awards 2021 last week. The judges praised the exceptional results she delivers for clients, her support for other businesses during the pandemic, and opportunities she creates for young people. That's Siobhan Sterling of Sharp Minds Communication. Congratulations, Siobhan, on your well-deserved award.
Well done.
The Women in Business Big Show.
I'm going to be at that.
Are you?
Yeah, I've got to stand there.
Did
it's
you
on
pass
Friday.
The medical?
Huh?
Did you pass the medical?
I did.
You need to talk about that.
But, yeah.
But you're not a woman? So it's Women in Business.
Don't go there. I can be whatever I want now.
Let's not go there.
Yeah.
We are also supporting the Women in Business Show, an opportunity open to everyone to network and hear from new businesses in Kent. The show is on the 5th of November and you can book here.
Yep.
The Women in Business Big Show.com is where you can book.
It's taking place on Friday the 5th of November from 8:30 until 4, and it's at the Longfield Academy.
Is that where it is?
Yep. And I'm going to be there because I've got to stand there.
There you go then. Mm. Fabulous.
What's your stand for Women in Business? You have to tell us, Paul.
Well, basically, I'm interviewing for the radio show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm interviewing all these lovely, successful ladies.
About what makes them successful?
About what makes them successful, about their businesses and so on.
And then
you
can share it on the radio.
And then
some of them will come as guests.
Exactly.
And then everybody will find out about how women get successful in business.
Exactly.
Sounds like a good plan.
It's a plan, isn't it?
It's a plan.
Yeah, it's a plan.
You've got a strategy, Mr. Anders.
I have.
I can barely control my disbelief.
Yeah.
Is spectacular.
Yeah, it's a week. It's a week beforehand.
Yeah. Organise
a long-term strategy for next week. Yeah, absolutely.
Incredible.
I'm just tweeting that we want the Halloween gifts. We're going to give a prize out for the winning gift.
The lovely Steph at Michael Park Surveyors, she said it's Tuesday and that means one thing, it's our favourite Business Bunker radio show is on air today. Are you tuning in with us to listen to Paul and Amanda? Well, we're here. Yeah.
We are, definitely.
Yeah.
We want all those gifts coming in.
Absolutely.
I did see another tweet earlier, I can't find it. Let me do another email instead.
What are you looking for?
I can't remember. I just remember seeing.
What do you want the gift to be showing? What's the gift?
We're going with a Halloween theme now.
You want a Halloween gift.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Did you see the gift from Chips and Dinks?
Yes, I did.
Did you read it out?
Yes, I did.
I thought you might have done.
I'm just paying attention, Paul.
This is the story of our life, Simon. Yeah. He never listens to what I say.
That's what my wife says of me.
Who was that? What did she say?
Hardy, hardy, ha. Marsh Networking, Marsh Breakfast Networking, this Thursday. Come and join us for the Marsh Breakfast Networking at 4 in a bed. What?
What?
Hang on. Let me start again.
Sounds like a good party to me.
Yeah, hold on. Where do we book this?
For Marsh Breakfast Networking at 4 in a bed winner, the ship. There we go. I have to finish that sentence. The ship in Dymchurch at 7:45 a.m. I still don't believe people network at that time in the morning. It's ridiculous. Thursday, 28th of October. Book at now marshnetwork.co.uk and enjoy an award-winning breakfast with plenty of time to network at a sensible start time, 7:45. Tell us about your business or charity. Seek and give support and grow your network. We aim to finish by 9:15 at the latest. Make new contacts in a relaxed and friendly atmosphere. Grow your network and your business. Your breakfast fee includes a donation to charity. The Marsh Network has no join-in or membership fee. No exclusivity. Just pay as you go to join us for great networking. Terry, that's from Terry Botfield or at TD Botty
on the Twitter.
Yes, a bit of breakfast networking on Thursday.
Cool. Terry's going to be a gift. He's not going to be a gift.
He's going to be a gift.
He's going to be a guest. He's going to be a guest on the show in a couple of weeks' time when we're going to catch up with him because he's been running networking on the Marsh and in East Sussex for a while now and it's really going big. So I want to hear more about it. So he's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks' time.
That'll be good.
So we're looking forward to that. Do you know what?
What?
I might do some cheesy tunage.
Yes, I'm dying to hear your
This is a real stretch, this. This is a real stretch, yeah. I pick a tune that has some tenuous link in either the title or the words to one of the guests. And this wasn't easy. Some of them just, you know, leap out at you and, you know, are obvious, yeah. But this wasn't. Anyway, why don't we play it and see what happens?
Well, I know the song, but I'm looking at the link.
Turn around.
Every now and then.
What's the title?
A little bit lonely and you're never coming around.
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Oh, there you go.
And we're going to talk to Total Release Experience.
Yeah.
Listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
The look in your eyes. A total eclipse of the heart. Once upon a time there was light in my life, but now there's only love in the dark. Nothing I can say, a total eclipse of the heart. We'll be right back.
Bonnie Tyler there, total eclipse of the heart. What do you reckon?
That actually wasn't a too bad cheesy song for you, so yeah.
No, it was a very tenuous connection to Caroline, who's our first guest, Caroline Purvey from Total Release Experience. Do you see what I did there?
Yes, I did. And you know, I was listening to that and thinking, you know, when we talk about the heart, there is an eclipse because we have different descriptions for a heart, don't we? We might feel broken-hearted.
Yeah.
We might feel downhearted.
Yeah.
We might feel happy.
See, I like this lady. See, she's given me all the reasons why I picked that track.
Exactly.
Light-hearted.
Full-hearted.
Very light-hearted. You know, my heart is singing.
Yeah.
All these different expressions of the heart.
Yeah, exactly.
So important.
Exactly. Caroline, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. You were last on the show a few months ago. And we loved having you, so we thought we'd get you back and give us an update on where you are. Now, you're the author of Wave the Book at Me, of Feel It to Heal It, a book which I've read and thoroughly enjoyed. Why don't you give us an overview of what the book's about and then tell us a little bit about Caroline and the things that you do. Yeah.
Well, it's absolutely brilliant to be back, Paul. I'm really excited to be updating you because things are changing all the time.
Mm.
The book, I'm very proud of that book. I'm getting some great reviews on it. The book is about my journey. I always think that we all have a purpose in life, mm-hmm. and life takes us on that journey. And everything that I have done to bring me to the work that I'm doing today is where I set the scene of the book.
Right,
it's not about me, but I think it's important that if I'm talking about the impact of stress, overwhelm and trauma, of which everybody on the planet is impacted by, you can't run away from that, that's life, then I do highlight that I have my fair share.
Yeah.
So I can walk in people's shoes,
yep.
Not every step of their way. Some have had tragic life stories, but then it's how did I arrive at the program that I now teach, and what is important, the amazing stories of people that engaged with the program and literally transformed their own life. Because in a simple language, we're all stress buckets,
yep.
and we need to know exactly how we can empty those buckets, not skim the top off because it's getting full, not put sticky plaster on things, not expect somebody else to empty that bucket for us, but engage with the power of our own body to do exactly that, empty
sure.
the bucket.
It's one of those strange things, isn't it? The more stress we get under, the more anguish we face, the further away we seem to feel from a solution. And it's most of the problem is, in my experience, is that lack of control. You don't know how to get out of where you are. Yeah, you know what you want to happen, but you don't know how to get there.
Yeah,
is that a fair description?
That's a very fair description. Yeah, you know, I've had somebody call me, and a gentleman, and he said, you know, I don't know what's going on, but my body feels like it wants to burst.
Hmm. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Okay, so give us an overview. First of all, tell us a little bit about you, Caroline, and about your journey to where you got and what made you write the book and develop the program that you have.
So the program that I have came about from the story I share in the book. One of those moments where I was teaching yoga before I had my own yoga studio.
Right.
And teaching yoga in the Dover community for 30 years. And I had an email from a lady and she said, oh, have a look at this. And I had a look. And when I saw her, she said, oh, did you have a look at my email? Yes, I did. What is it? How did you find out about it? Anyway, cut a long story short, somebody she met from South Africa told her about it and she thought she'd pass me the information.
Hmm.
That night, I made a telephone call to South Africa. And at the very time I was expected to be in South Africa, well, not expected, I wanted to be, for the birth of my grandson. And I promised my daughter, don't worry, Mummy. Mummy will be there, you know, like mummies are. But birth like death comes when it's ready, doesn't it? And there was that little voice inside me saying, don't buy your ticket. But that night, before I went to bed, I bought two tickets to South Africa, not only at the time that the baby was due, in a venue that's, I can't believe, still to this day, when she told me where it was, 5 minutes from where my daughter lived. Now, South Africa's a big place, but there was an event in that venue with a guy from South Africa, from America, that was teaching a program. We arrived on the Monday, baby came on Wednesday, Friday, I'm in this venue in which I was familiar with 99 other people from around the world. And at the end of that weekend, I stood up and said, I'm going back to make this happen in the UK. And it was a practice then called trauma prevention exercise. But there was something about it that resonated with me. I came back and opened up my yoga studio because I'd come out of my teaching job. And I started to share the word about this practice. But I got very serious about it, and it's been my life work.
And how long ago was this,
that was,
Caroline?
Nearly 10 years ago.
Well, okay.
And because of, I've worked with people week on week, month on month, year on year, I discovered amazing powers about the human body to heal. And the journey that that takes them when they engage with this. And it's all to do with a muscle in the body. Learning to release from it, because if we don't, we fall down that gurgler with all the ailments that come from accumulated stress, overwhelm and trauma.
Right.
And so it's been a journey, but an amazing one. And in lockdown, it was time to write the book.
Yeah.
It took me 9 years to get the experience, but 5 months to write it.
Right, okay.
It's quite good going for writing a book, though, because sometimes it I guess when you started, did you just flow and it came out? Because sometimes it can take people such a long time to write a book, can't it? Because trying to get it out of their head onto paper can be a bit quite a difficult experience.
Yes. I connected with a lady that set up her own publishing company, Book Brilliance Publishing. And she was very good in saying, right, OK, follow this. And with that structure, I was on a roll.
Right, OK. You'd never written a book before, I take it?
I'd written a chapter in a book, which was launched the week before lockdown.
Right.
It was my first intro to writing, something I always wanted to do. And then in lockdown, I was asked to write another chapter for another co-author book, so that was two, and they both became number one bestsellers. Then I wrote mine, that became a number one bestseller, and then I've just been one of the voices in Resilient Voices, which Book Billions published, and that became number one as well.
Fantastic.
Well, hey.
So, there's a load of things that I want to talk about here, and they're kind of all randomly different. Just the experience of writing a book, because a lot of people think they like to write a book, but it isn't as easy as you like. I mean, I'm a massive reader. I love reading books, and I read dozens and dozens of books a week. I worked it out the other day, didn't I, Amanda? Since the lockdown started, I've read 246 books.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
That's how many programmes I've watched on Netflix.
Yeah, but you watch them all back to back without going to between them.
That's true. Binge Netflix.
Yeah. But I love reading books, but I wouldn't remotely even want to start to write a book.
No, you've always said that, haven't you? Never,
yeah,
you never
I've just never,
book.
Never wanted to do it. Lots of people want to write a book. So how did you find it when you sat down to write your first book, Caroline? Was it fear, excitement, trepidation? What went through your mind? And then as you got it down on paper, how did it feel to you?
Well, that's a great question. You know, the first book that I was in was... the third volume of Notes to My Younger Self.
Right.
And with 18 other women, we were invited to do exactly that, write notes to our younger self. The lady coordinating that, Kazia Luckett, she was a psychologist, and she insisted we all had a one-to-one with her to make sure actually we were ready to write this book.
Right.
And I was pretty pleased because she said, you know, you're on it. And that kind of evolved. And what was interesting is it made me reflect on my younger life. And what would I tell, looking back now, my younger self, the lessons I learned from that? And it's extraordinary. We think we haven't got anything to tell from our life, but everybody has a life story.
Sure.
At the book launch, when a lady said to me, I loved your story, I can see it's going to resonate with so many other women. And whilst there were a lot of stories from the ladies that have gone through such deep trauma, I never considered that I had. Maybe that was the way I dealt with it, and I recognised myself in my own bucket scenarios. I found that quite touching. Well, why not? How many women have lost their first baby? And how many have gone through relationship issues and divorce and, you know, religious influence on your life and all of the impact of these things?
It's interesting, isn't it, as well? I don't want to sound like a typical old bloke here, but again, you know, when you talk about things that affect people's lives, in previous generations before mine, what they thought was a trauma, like getting bombed every night from aeroplanes over London, to what my generation think of a trauma, younger generation think of a trauma, can be radically different things. And it's also interesting how human beings learn to cope quite quickly with rotten things that happen to them. And sometimes that coping can not be useful. Yeah, because basically people just tolerate the trauma that they have in their life and don't actually do anything to fix it. They just get to the point where they, you know, accept it. And you see that so often. And we're experiencing that now as we go through all of this pandemic stuff. How many people just accept what they're told and do stuff without really thinking about whether it's the right thing to do for them or not? For me, that's the most interesting thing about trauma is, as you said, I think most of us have suffered some kind of trauma in our lives at some point. It's what you think about that trauma and more importantly, what you do about it. And quite often, most of us just tolerate it or kind of live with it rather than actually do something to overcome it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And what I've discovered on my journey working with a range of individuals, a lot of adult problems come from childhood experiences. And when we think of fight, flight, freeze, children's defense mechanism is to freeze. Let's face it, you know, they can't run away, they can't fight in an adult world. And it's when they get older that those feelings and emotions, they might not always remember what they're from, start to emerge. Add those to the current stresses of the day and any recent adult traumas. And I never say what trauma is, because I do believe, as you say, trauma is what it is to each individual. You can have six people go through the same traumatic experience, but they'll all have different ways of...
Yeah, absolutely. You put it much better than I was trying to express that earlier. Yeah, but you're absolutely right. It's how we react to what we think is a trauma or not. Yeah.
But every trauma gets stored in our body's muscle memory.
Right.
And that's the bit we need to recognise. Okay. Because that is, we're all energetic beings, we're all energy that's stuck in the body.
Let's not get carried away here. It's a long time since I was energetic, I tell you.
Well, yeah, but it does, it suppresses energy.
Yeah.
One of those classic symptoms, you start to feel tired, you haven't got the va-va-voom anymore.
Yeah. So let's move on to that and talk about this element of the programme and the book and what it's all about. Just give us an overview. I know, we need to read the book to find out in depth, but just, spend a couple of minutes just giving us an overview of this.
Yeah. So the Total Release Experience programme is quite simply emptying your bucket. Doesn't all happen at once. It's a layer-by-layer process. But it doesn't require talking, it doesn't require appointments, it's not even a therapy, which is deep joy. I don't like that word.
Right.
I always think of therapy as the rapist. Somebody do something to me.
Yeah.
But we all have a psoas muscle deep in the body. That is the muscle that's our fight flight centre. Fears and emotions are stored. And just like animals, we have that ability to shake off the tension from the body.
Right.
And when the tension starts to leave the body, and it's very simple, why? Because it's a reptilian brain practice. We're all animals, as Attenborough says, animals in clothing. And just as animals shake off, anyone with a dog knows that a dog shakes, and it's not because the dog's frightened, it's because the dog's just letting go of the adrenaline and cortisol. They have the same muscle as we do. Reptilian brain's responsible for breathing, for heart, powerful systems in the body. And this is the third missing piece of the jigsaw. To learn to lay on the floor, shake it off, 20 minutes a week, job done.
So what you're talking about here is releasing built-up tensions and stuff within your body using a particular technique that you teach on the program and you write about in the book.
Yeah. Yeah. But, that might sound simple. Mm. And so it is. But so is breathing. So is your heart. Mm. And if anything goes wrong with those systems, most people take no notice until they go wrong. And then we're not working to our optimum.
Yep.
Or it's game over. That's it. Mm. And when we build tension or we feel that stress bucket, we're on a sinking ship. The rate that we go down depends on how much you keep filling in the bucket.
Right.
And so you can't just skim the top off and go on a retreat and hope you empty your bucket on the shores of Bali or somewhere else. You've literally got to let go of that tension. And that is the best kept secret.
Right.
We all have that ability. And we're living in a world where nobody's got a solution. But actually, we all have the solution.
Right.
And the stories in the book just highlight those miracles. And I call myself a miracle junkie, to be honest. Every day, another story. Wow, got to share this.
Right.
Back pain's gone after years, neck shoulder pain's gone, IBS has gone, got energy. Recently I had a lovely email from a lady, her scoliosis that she got when she was a teenager. And she said, when I did research, came from stress. And now as an adult, it's gone.
Right.
And she said, the prospect of moving into older age with no scoliosis is wonderful. Right. And she did it, doing the practice.
Okay. So... that's what we need to read about in the book. Tell us very briefly, because we're kind of running out of time, Caroline. Tell us about the actual program. How does that work? What are the details of the program in terms of how long is it? When does it happen?
Okay, so COVID, we flipped everything on its head. With my son that I work very closely with, it turned his life around, created an online course.
Right.
Now we reach out across the world. So available on the website, treuk.com, 4-module program. So you get essential education and all the tools you need to go through a safe, supported practice. We know everybody we're working with around the world. And I do want to add, since I spoke to you last, Canterbury Christchurch University validated our data.
Right, okay.
99% improves physical, mental, emotional well-being, and not by chance. and a police group we worked with on a pilot project. Anxiety and depression levels were very high. By the end of the programme, down over 60%.
Wow.
So, really pleased about that. But as an online programme, it then becomes a tool for life and a life tool.
Fantastic. Caroline, thank you so much for bringing that back to us and telling us more about it. Let's give you a shout-out for the book, Feel It to Heal It. Where's it available from?
Available on my website, treuk.com, postage free. Also available on Amazon.
Okay. It's paperback and...
Yes, it's an audio book.
Oh, right, okay.
On Audible as well. A lot of people like listening.
Yep.
So,
cool.
A lovely dulcet Scottish tone that's reading the book.
Oh, fabulous. And if you want to find out more about Caroline's programme, TRE.com?
TREUK.com.
TREUK.com. And you can also find Caroline on all the social media platforms under the same label, TREUK?
On Twitter, yes. On LinkedIn, Caroline Purvey. The woman to watch in well-being, that's my line.
Okay.
I like that.
Cool. Caroline, thank you so much for that. It's a pleasure to see you again. Thank you for bringing that back to us. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, Caroline Purvey, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey. Right, what we got?
Jules has put a very scary picture of the new husband up, a Halloween-y one.
Jules has?
Yeah.
Blimey.
He's trying out his Halloween costume.
That is scary.
That is pretty, yeah.
How scary?
Yeah.
I can't see it yet.
I'm not sure, Lucy. The new husband was trying on his Halloween gear, gave me quite a fright. Yeah, it's quite scary.
Mm. Oh, I'll look at it in a minute. I've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Paragon Drones, and they say, have a great show. Loved the musical Fromage. it's Paragon Drones. Dig them a follow on Twitter.
They're bilingual. Drones. It's impressive.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right. Jules also has tweeted, just a warning, she's got a phishing message on her WhatsApp. It literally came in, hi mum, my phone is broken, please delete my old number and use this one. But it was a phishing scam, so
yeah.
Just be careful.
You need to watch them, don't you? It is so many of these things, and what makes me laugh, because I've got a big downer on banks at the moment, what makes me laugh is you get loads of things from banks that says, don't be fooled by a scam. We never ask you for this and we never ask you for that. And then I get a phone call from someone who goes, oh, this is the bank. Can you just identify yourself? And you go, no. No, I can't.
Identify yourself to me. You could be anybody. Well, you could call me.
Yeah.
Well, no, if it's important, you can talk to me. And if it's not important, I won't bother.
Yeah.
Make me so cross.
Yeah. It's, you know, they're just nonsense, aren't they?
Yeah.
Anyway.
And the NHS. I got a text from the NHS, didn't I? I was trying to get an appointment.
Oh, yeah.
And I got a text from them saying, sign into the portal to book your appointment. I'm like, no, I'm not going to click on the link. It's on the text. Thank you very much.
Yeah. They just sent her a link in a text message. And you go, no, nobody clicks on links in text messages anymore. You're mad.
It's so hard to be able to sort the wheat from the chaff or to work out how you can sensibly communicate.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Simon, and that's something that technology needs to concentrate more on than trying to automate everything and AI everything. What they need to sort out is how they make it usable by human beings, and that's where it's going wrong. I've got dozens of stories about this, and I'll tell you my famous one again. Every Sunday evening for a few weeks, I got a text message from HomeServe. I'm naming names now, you know, the big support company.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Your emergency gas engineer will be with you at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning to resolve your problem. Okay? It's a no-reply text message. So I try to reply to it.
Do you have gas where you live?
I do have gas, but I don't have a contract with HomeServe, and okay. I didn't have a problem with my boiler.
All right.
Okay? The text message is a no-reply text message. So if you try to reply to it, it just won't reply. Okay? So I'm thinking they've got the wrong number. So I let the first one go. The second time I get it, yeah, I'm thinking, you know, there's some poor bloke desperately waiting and they're not sending someone because he's not, he's not in or whatever.
Wrong number.
Yeah, I must do something about this. So I rang HomeServe. So I ring the number and I go, I've got a problem. What's your contract number? I don't have a contract. Well, we can't talk to you if you don't have a contract. And I go, well, let me explain what the problem is. No, sorry, we can't talk to you. That's it. You don't want to know. No. You need to give us your contract number. So I thought, how do I get around that? I know. I'll phone sales. So I rang sales. Oh, good morning. Would you like to take out a contract with us? No. Oh, well, that's what we do here. Yeah, but I need to speak to you. This is what's happening. Yeah. I'm getting a text message and you've clearly got the wrong phone number. Oh. And I said, so you need to remove it. Okay, well, what's the contract number? How would I know? I'm not your customer, and you haven't put the contract number in the text message, so I wouldn't know what the contract number is, would I? Oh, we can't find it. I said, why don't you just do a database search on my phone number? Don't think we can do that.
They just don't know how.
Yeah, I said, I think you can, you just don't know how. I said, why don't you get your IT department? Oh, okay then. What was it, 3 weeks, 4 weeks running? Every Sunday I got this message. Every Sunday. And eventually I just blocked the number. And they just weren't interested. So there's still probably some poor bloke in Surrey still waiting for an emergency call out.
I know it's not technically my turn to talk shop yet, but I'll just tell you this in passing. Well, we have a financial services business. We invest money for clients. Every so often, for some reason I've never really fully understood, clients phone up and want some of their money. They want to take their money away from us and spend it on stuff. And they contact us and say, can I have some money, please? Mm. And for us, that's a little bit challenging. It's their money. They can have it, of course. But is it them? How do we know? Yeah. It's a disembodied voice on the phone. How does the admin team know it's them? Yeah. Because the admin team may not have a relationship with that client.
Yeah.
So what we've now done is if we get an email, one of our advisors who knows the client will phone the client and say, we've had this email, just want to confirm it came from you. They say yes, and we put a note in the system, advisor has talked to the client.
Yeah.
If the client phones us, even though we know who it is, we say, can you just follow that? I've been writing from your usual email address so that we've got belt and braces.
Yeah.
But it's all about that service.
Yeah.
And the thing that I got taught at a very young age, has stayed with me nearly as long as I can remember, is I'm not in the financial services business, I'm in the service business. I'm not in the restaurant business. I ought to be in the service business. They think they're in the food business. It's about service.
Yeah.
Give clients what they want, and it works. And people, it's all about people. And technology gets between people.
It does. I've worked in technology for over 50 years. And it's all the way through that, my point has been to everyone, don't rely on the technology to do everything. There's a human element to this. And that human element is still the most important point of a way out of this.
Yes,
because you get into these deadly embraces that technology introduces for you. I had exactly the same. I had a very well-known telephone company, Vodafone, many years ago, who I rang up to change a contract on one of my business phones. I had two business phones on a contract with Vodafone, and I rang up to change it, and they said, you're not who you say you are. All right, why'd you say that? Because you can't identify the name of your company properly. Think I can. It's JIK Software Limited. Nope. And we're not talking to you. Well, don't be ridiculous. I know the name of my own company. No, you got it wrong. And they refused to talk to me. So I just didn't pay the bill. So then they wrote to me at my address, which is where I found out what the problem was, because they had me listed as Jackware Limited.
But you predictive know, text on that
predictive text in their accounts,
exactly.
In their account services,
and that is so easily done where you can make a database error, but then the customer has no way out of that. You know, I told you off air about a problem I had with my date of birth, where an organisation I was talking to told me I didn't know my own date of birth because they copied it down wrong.
Yeah,
you know, you come against this brick wall every single time that says, well, you've given us the wrong information. No, but one of us is wrong, and it isn't me.
We get this. We end up having to send clients' birth certificates in. We've picked up a couple of clients recently where the systems for an insurance company had the wrong date of birth on it. We knew it was right. The insurer said, no, it's not what we've got. They said, here's the client's birth certificate. We're right. You're wrong. Change it. And eventually they do. But it's a nightmare.
But when you think how easy it is to copy things, all the fraudulent activities that go on, you don't know what to believe anymore. And driving up here, I was listening to the beginning of a show that was talking about have you been scammed?
Yeah.
And just quickly, I was listening, caught one story about a lady who, BT, said there was a problem with her internet, newly installed, got on through her app that she let them because it all showed up BT, £56,000 out of her account, just like that.
Yeah. It's...
Ouch.
We probably need to get the Bell lad back on, don't we?
Oh, yes, we have missed Mr. Bell.
Yep. He's a cybersecurity specialist. But the problem here is, as Simon identified, is that it's how do you break this cycle of knowing when something is or isn't legitimate? Because, one, the scammers can be very, very persuasive of the, you know, the kind of emails that you get. It's only when they make silly mistakes. So I've been getting a range of text messages from a parcel delivery company just recently saying, we tried to deliver your parcel, you weren't in, we've taken it back to the depot, click this link to get a redelivery date. Now, I order tons of stuff on the internet. I mean, just tons of stuff. And it's so easy to go, oh, bugger.
It's
and
all Amanda's gifts, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But the fact is, they made a little mistake with this one because it's an American delivery company and they don't deliver in the UK. But it's so easy to fall for these things. But worse than that, when you're aware of it, it's so easy to dismiss legitimate things. And that's the problem, like with Amanda's NHS thing, is she's been waiting for a long time for an appointment and she's missed it if she doesn't click some random link they've sent her.
We had an email intrusion into our own systems. They didn't get very far, but they got away. And they got away by sending what looked like a legitimate email to one of our junior staff who clicked on something they shouldn't have done.
Yep.
And that gave them access to his contacts. And that replicated and went out to 100 different people, and we've had to close passwords and changed a few things around, and we wrote to all our clients. It was very, very tiresome. But it was the human element. You put the spam filters in, you tell staff, you train staff, you give them all the information you can. But still, if it looks good and it's in a business environment, you know, how are you getting through 50 emails? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've got to click on that link. That's something kosher. And it wasn't.
Yeah.
And it caused us a certain amount of grief.
Absolutely. And do you know what? You can't blame individual people because it's so easy to get caught. You know, I've got tons and tons of experience at this. And I got, about a year ago, I got one that was supposedly from my bank. It was a text message. It said, click here to do something. It was just one of those lucky things that, one, they guessed the name of my bank, because I get them all the time from banks I don't have bank accounts with. Yeah, and you just ignore those because you know they're wrong. But this one was from my bank, or, you know, pretended to be my bank, and it said, you've been having problems recently, which I'd literally only got off the phone about half an hour before, having had a problem, yeah? And I get this text message. So I click the link, and then it says, put your account number. And at that point, I thought, hold on a minute.
We're not having that.
Yeah, so I put in it 999111, and it actually came back and said, yes, thank you, we corroborate, that is your account number. No, it's not. It's easy to do, though. It is so easy to do. Right, I've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Athelbray.
Have you?
Yeah. And they say, great show. We'll catch up later as we're celebrating our grandson Connor's third birthday.
Oh, yes.
Could we get a birthday shout out as he brightens our days and keeps our feet firmly on the ground? Of course you can. Happy birthday, Connor. Yeah, 3 years old.
Oh, it's exciting.
Yeah, I've got a 3 year old at the moment. My grandson's visiting, which is lovely.
I have a 3 year old grandson too.
Do you?
And two babies in lockdown.
All right. Okay.
Two grandbabies in lockdown, not two of my own babies.
I was going to say, you've been lots of energy there, hey?
Yes.
Well, so happy birthday, Connor, and all the lovely folks at Athelbray, and I hope you have a lovely day celebrating Connor's birthday.
Lovely.
What you got?
MBC helping residents with winter bills advice roadshow.
Oh, Maidstone Council, yep.
Yeah. Maidstone Borough Council.
Sorry.
It is working with local charity Involve in a series of roadshows to help people across the borough who may be struggling to cope with the rising cost of household bills this winter. The first four winter bills roadshows being held this week are to help residents in the borough with advice about how to manage the cost of food, utilities and fuel. The Winter's Bills Roadshows are being held on Tuesday, today, 26th of October, from 1 till 5 in Allington Community Association. Tomorrow, between 1 till 5, Marden Vestry Hall. Thursday, from 1 till 5, in Lewes Parish Pavilion. And on Friday, 1 till 5, at Detlin Village Hall. All the advice the council and partner organisations are offering is free, impartial and confidential. It is tailored to help each individual. If you want to find out more information, obviously it's going on this week, but you can still go along. So if you email them at roadshows@maidstone.gov.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. Bromley Buzz. So can we have a shout out, please, for the Bromley Buzz podcast, otherwise known as the Voice of Bromley. And also, we missed the Fleetwood Mac intro.
Oh, that's a shame.
That was a shame. Yeah. It's a brilliant podcast.
Don't worry, play it at the end as well.
Yeah. It's a brilliant podcast. You can follow them on the Twitter, Bromley Buzz. You can actually hear the podcast on this radio station as well. We broadcast it at 10 a.m. on a Monday morning.
All right. I'll check
that
out.
Yeah. So have a listen. It's brilliant. And that's Zinat Nirani and Darren that normally present now. I'm just checking to see what else they've said about it. They haven't told me who next week's guest is. It's Darren Wheel, anyway, and Zinat Nirani that present the Bromley Buzz podcast.
Oh, there you go.
Cool. Keeping you up, Amanda?
Yeah. I'm cold. That's why I'm yawning.
Oh, in tune PR, going for your cheesiest tunage ever. I don't know about that. I've had cheesier than that. No, I think. Definitely. Yeah, quite possibly. Yeah.
Well, I'm still waiting to see lots of these Halloween gifts.
Halloween gifts.
Oh, blimey, I've just seen...
Jules's was pretty horrific.
Jules is doing pretty well.
I've just seen Gavin, yeah. Blimey.
You get on Twitter, people, to see that.
Yeah.
That's just what he looks like when he gets up in the morning.
Yeah, I didn't say that. It was her that said that.
Oh, my God. We do have to mention this quickly, though. Did you... The whole thing about Alec Baldwin and the shooting.
Yeah, really sad.
It's really sad.
Mm. Yeah, absolute tragedy. Absolute tragedy.
What's this?
Alec Baldwin and the shooting.
Oh, I know. There's been some issues around that as well, now, isn't there?
Yeah, well, there's going to be, but...
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, for an actor to be given a gun with a live bullet in it, which is what happened, means that the people that gave him said gun are amateur in the extreme.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And apparently I read an article yesterday or the day before about how they're doing so many shows. There's so much content being put out now to catch up for the COVID isolation. They've got lots of very inexperienced people at all levels of production. Mm. So very inexperienced armourers. They're not even keeping live ammunition and blank ammunition separately. Right. And they were out shooting the real handgun for target practice immediately before it was being loaded with blank ammunition to use on the show.
Right.
And it's just, it's a nightmare. I mean, I don't know if you shoot, Paul. I've got a shotgun ticket and I shoot clays occasionally.
Mm.
And the first thing you do when anybody hands you a gun is you check to make sure it's empty.
Yeah.
I mean,
And you never, ever point it at anyone.
No.
Well, I think there is an exception. He was actually shooting at the camera for the purposes of production. That's probably about the only exception.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, you know, again, they should have been on a course just before they even were allowed anywhere near a gun. First thing you ever do, make sure the gun is empty. Then when you load it, make sure it's blank. So the blanks are this colour. Live shots are a different colour. If it's not this colour, don't touch it. Give it to somebody in the army department.
Why would they have any live ammunition on a film set anyway?
Yeah. Yes.
They're not supposed to. Yeah. Exactly.
No,
yeah.
Exactly that.
Yeah, terrible.
This is America. Guns are out of control.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
I've had a tweet which is apposite to our conversation just now from Paragon Drones. And they say, Vanilla Web, there's some excellent free help from the NCSC on scams and things like that. And they've given me a link to the website. And you can follow them on Twitter. NCSC is their Twitter handle. That's the National Cyber Security Centre. And their website is ncsc.gov.uk. And you can report things there. And they give you lots of advice on how to spot different scams and so on and so forth. So thank you for that. Paragon Drones.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. And when we're back, we're going to talk some more to Simon. Here we go.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
You're listening to Channel Radio.